activated.
On a COD game, you're getting your video game reviews from a COD game, Jeremy. What's going on? Where's daughter now before I shank you? Yeah. It's not necessarily the peaceful option because someone's still clearly about to get murderized.
Weapons selected.
This is Gaming Fallout, brought to you from the London Shelter, hosted by the Retrocritic blog. Shout out to Adam, starring me, Dale, and Dremo.
Heyo!
Yeah, he said hello this week, you see? See, there you go. We're learning. We're evolving. We are. You can find us where? Find us on Silent Consumer, the YouTube channel. You can also find us, obviously, on this podcast. Don't know if you knew that. And probably on the Big Rewind occasionally, when you guys actually record an episode that isn't slamming a film I like. So, yeah. Still not going to watch. Still not going to listen to that episode, Jamie. Can't make me.
What? It's like the episode we did on Pain and Gain.
Yeah, garbage. All right, so let's get on into the prologue. And today we're going to talk about some news about news. Yeah, I love news about news websites. So Kotaku, much hated because they're terrible. They're the worst. They have been blacklisted from Bethesda and Ubisoft for generally being dickheads.
Well, they've been blacklisted for a while now.
Yeah, well, it's been more relevant recently, obviously, because Fallout just came out with Bethesda. And obviously, Ubisoft just released Assassin's Creed. So it's been more relevant because their reviews haven't come out early because they were blacklisted from getting the review copies. So it's been much more noticeable.
So they have to buy it like the rest of us peasants.
Yeah, well, apparently I saw a headline where someone had said, someone at Kotaku had said that they had to buy the copies like peasants.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Oh, but wah. No, Kotaku, just the worst.
It's going to be fucking tax-free. Shut up.
So, yeah. So just not the best of reactions they're having either, just whining and moaning on Twitter. And I'm sure if you go to Kotaku in Action on Reddit, which is a personal favorite of mine, you can see all of the quote tweets and the archives and the screen grabs that you may want to see. One of the ones I like is Boogie2988.
He's a good guy.
So they've been going at it because he got blacklisted from Kotaku. And then he's basically laughing at the fact that Kotaku got blacklisted. And then Kotaku are whining about it.
Well, the big difference is that Kotaku could claim to be journalists.
Well, then, see, the funny thing is about that is that Kotaku, about a year ago, said that they're not journalists. And they're not objective. And it is a silly thing to strive towards being.
Yeah,
and it was like, wait, what? Then be honest.
Well, you
want
to strive to be it. Whether you are is a different thing.
No, I think it's just them. They want people to believe that they're a news outlet. Like, I've got a quote from here. So, Loot Crate creative director. God, that's a mouthful. Slams Kotaku. Kotaku is trying to come off as a martyr here, but even that piece alone screams unprofessional. It's pandering to unaware customers. So it's just the worst. And that's someone that's not necessarily in the gaming industry.
Of the gaming industry, though, because a lot of their products are gaming related.
Yeah,
they rely on gamers to be, you know, buying their loot crate.
Yeah, definitely. And then a Rockstar dev replied on Twitter, calling a former WoW project lead a human garbage. and then saying that blacklist is going to expand rapidly pretty soon, methinks.
Yes, there could be a few other big publishers that will end up blacklisting.
Yeah. So then there was there was also some situations on NeoGAF where they were telling people to put out the hashtag stand with Kotaku. And it's like, if Kotaku was actually a gaming news website, and they were actually just doing news stuff, and that had got them in trouble with the publishers, I could understand. But it's very obviously not the case here. Like, if they're so good at the whole news thing, then they should be able to survive being blacklisted. They should still have their fans and still be able to go on.
That's true, yeah. Maybe.
I don't think they will. I think they'll fold.
Well, yeah,
and the other one I wanted to do, at Noct, the Noct of Minecraft, refers to Kotaku as the Fox News of gaming, which I think is very apt.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I like that. That's I'm trying to think who Bill O'Reilly is, but there's no one. No one can be compared to Bill.
Well, I've always tried to stay away from Kotaku as best I can, so I don't really know any of their writers, but Bill O'Reilly would probably be their head guy, whoever he is. Shout out to you. You're scum. Anyway. let's go on into the news. Jamie, take it away with it. Hold on.
News.
Clash. There you go. Did you hear the music drop? I bet it was good. So there you go. Jamie, the news. The news.
Well, okay, so I think there's some good stuff in here. Anyway,
I will be the judge of whether or not there is good stuff in here.
We're getting PS2 emulation on PlayStation 4. It's being looked into at the moment, and it's been confirmed by PlayStation.
It's already been done, apparently.
Yes and no. The Star Wars Battlefront bundle came with what they called Star Wars Classics. You can be the judge of that. This includes Super Star Wars, Star Wars Bounty Hunter, Star Wars Jedi Starfighter, and Star Wars Race Revenge.
I liked Jedi Starfighter was good. Bounty Hunter was good.
Well,
the other one sounds like garbage.
So they're being emulated on the PlayStation 4, and actually they look better than the originals because they're running at unlocked frame rates, generally at 60 frames, consistent. That's good. And also, they're slightly higher resolution, and they're being there's a bit of post processing going on there with some VSync and some anti-aliasing, I believe. Anyway, next, this sounds good. I mean, if it depends how it works. I mean, if it's like you stick in a disc and it just emulates a PlayStation 2 disc, I would be happy. Or is this more a case of downloading PlayStation 2 games?
Yeah, because I don't have space on my hard drive. And you only brought the console out with a 500 gig hard drive.
With emulation,
exactly. But the problems that I could have with it would be exactly the same problems that I had with the 360 emulation on Xbox One.
But we don't know how it works yet. It could work with the disc. If it works with the disc, great. You know, it's an added bonus. And it also means, like with this bundle, other companies could bundle old games with new games just to give it a little bit more value. And I'm all for that.
Yeah, because
I could imagine Naughty Dog doing that. Naughty Dog could do that with a collection of Crash Bandicoot games with their new Crash Bandicoot game. They could do that.
Yeah, if they actually made one. Are they making one?
I think there's rumors about that they're going to make another one.
Do they have the license back? Because there was rumors about them getting the license back, but it never went through.
Yeah, that's what the rumors were to make the game. So we'll see.
Okay. Good.
Next thing.
Yeah, I do. Well, just refer to the previous episode that isn't out yet at the time of this recording because of some people. And
yep. Thank you.
Just just refer back to me moaning about it on Xbox One. And there you go.
Yep.
Same issues. Hopefully
totally
done better way.
That totally didn't get cut.
Oh boy.
Anyway.
Oh boy. Never mind.
Destiny's Refer a Friend system goes live soon, and
what?
This is some bullshit.
This is that's an MMORPG thing.
Yeah, so I think on this Monday or next Monday, basically everyone who already owns the game is considered a veteran, and anyone who can buy the game anew can be a potential referee. And if you can, I guess, connect accounts, you can basically get these in-game exclusive items. Yay.
Because what was Destiny missing, Jamie? Some pyramid scheme bullshit. That's what Destiny was missing, but now we have it, so it's fine. But this is a thing that's been going on with MMORPGs for ages. This whole refer a friend, use a code. When generally, I've never done it, but if I'm of the understanding that a whole group of people are going to get a game, then just bounce the code, the refer codes around so everyone gets the item.
Yeah.
It's just the easiest way of doing it.
I don't know how it's going to work exactly, but...
well, generally, it's like when you make an account, it will say, did someone refer you? If they did, use this number that they've been emailed, and then you can give them stuff.
Yeah, Destiny doesn't necessarily force you to create an account. It just links to PSN. So.
Well, I think it might be your Bungie Net account.
Oh, you have to have a Bungie Net. Okay, all right.
Probably. But, probably. Yeah, that'd probably be how they did it. Anyway, sounds pointless. With a game that has content issues, why are you still gating content?
Yeah.
Why? Stop the behavior. It's stupid. It's annoying people. It's annoying everyone.
So next. Yeah. Next thing. Deus Ex Mankind Divided is delayed for 6 months.
Okay.
And this is after they got rid of their augmented pre-release crap or something
your pre-order.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny because one of the augments for the pre-order thing was if enough people pre-ordered, then the game would come out a week before the release date.
Yeah, I know, and it's been delayed.
Which is fucking hilarious because now it's been delayed. It's like, well, not enough people pre-ordered it, clearly. Yeah, push it back. Dear. There you go. That's what you get. It's odd, silly.
So something a lot nicer, and I'm looking forward to this, is there's going to be a new Valkyria Chronicles game for PlayStation 4.
Ooh.
Which will be bundled with Valkyria Chronicles 1, which came out on PlayStation 3. Unfortunately, there's no mention of
the PSP
Valkyria
one.
Chronicles 2 or 3. 2 was a PSP exclusive, and 3 was a Japanese exclusive.
Wow, there was a 3. I didn't even know about the 3.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't see it. They may, if this game does well, they may obviously do a 2 and 3 bundle or, you know, download on the PSN store.
They're doing Gravity Rush, the remake, so there's no reason why they couldn't just
port it.
Send it over.
With 3, they'd have to port and do a translation. That's quite costly.
Yeah, but you can always just do subtitles. I mean... I personally have done subtitles before, and it's annoying as fuck, but it's not the end of the universe.
Yep, it's just, it costs a lot of money. That's the main thing. It's not necessarily a huge amount of effort, but yeah, money and time. But I'm looking forward to that. I really like the Valkyria Chronicle game. I've only played the one. I didn't play the 2 or 3.
Yeah. But, didn't even know there was a 3.
It's interesting that it's kind of a unique gameplay style. I haven't seen that before, where it's like it's real time as you move, but then it's got kind of like a VAT system, but it's also got some turn based elements.
Yeah.
So
no,
it's interesting.
I really enjoyed it, and it was tactical, and it had like permadeath and things like that, and some more of your it was kind of like what if you could imagine Fire Emblem but 3D. It's like kind of like
with really like interesting art style, whereby it looks drawn but is 3D. It's I really like it.
Yeah, big fan.
So, next news item. Here's, we know now what we're getting for Battlefront Season Pass, which costs $50.
Is it the other half of the game that they cut out of the game?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Good to know.
Okay, so you're getting 4 DLC packs, right? They're going to start releasing them early 2016, and you'll have access to 4 heroes and villains, 20 weapons and vehicles, 4 new gameplay modes, 16 new maps, and 2 weeks of exclusive access to the DLC content before everyone else, and an exclusive shoot first emote.
Okay.
Which is an obvious reference to hand shot first.
Yeah.
Don't know how you do that, but yeah.
Why can't you just shoot the guy though?
Yeah.
When would you use that?
So
like what?
That means that anyone who's just bought the game, welcome to what you're not going to get, I guess, if you're not going to be bothered to spend $50 extra or your regional equivalent, which is, it's going to be £40 here, by the way.
Oh, it's £40. I thought it was 50.
No, but $50, £40 hit in the UK.
Yeah, that's not what the exchange rate is, but yeah, never mind.
Yeah, I know, that's not it. But the thing is, companies like EA have figured out that they can fix the price of DLC. They can't fix the price of retail copies of the game. So there's at least some competition between Amazon and everyone else.
Yeah, but it's that thing I was talking about in the first episode, where the publishers have been looking for ages for ways to charge more for their games. And this is just the ultimate evolution of that slippery slope that they're on, is to just cut half the game away and then sell it to you later on, and act like it wasn't there from the start. But yeah, it's a problem, because now the AAA games that should be blowing people's socks off and really drawing people into the gaming industry, into gaming as a hobby, are now 7 out of 10s, 6 out of 10s. Yes. Like Destiny, clearly cut content. Yeah. 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at Open Critic right now for Star Wars Battlefront. 7.2 out of 10.
7. Yeah.
7.2 out of 10. And if it had the full suite of DLC already in it, would it be a 7.2 out of 10? Would people be complaining about, you know, the lack of content, the lack of maps, the lack of modes, the lack of a single player? No, because it'd be there from the start. It's just ridiculous.
The first DLC pack is called Battle of Jakku. I don't know how you say that, actually. It could be Jakku.
No, you're right.
I don't know. And will be available from next month.
Okay, so when the movie comes out.
That will be free and does not count towards the season pass. Okay. So the season pass stuff starts early 2016.
Okay.
The first pack is free.
Yeah, oh, right. That's probably been gated because of the movie. Because Jakku's the...
Oh,
I think
yes,
it's the desert planet. But whatever.
Of course. But, yeah. This obviously just should have just come with the game.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh no, we need to tie it to the hype train of the film.
Hmm.
So, okay, that's not so great. One more news story from me, and it's actually a pretty positive one, I guess. Valve are changing the way their sales work. So normally what would happen in the sales is you'd have a bunch of things on your wish list or some things you were looking out for, or you, like a lot of people, you just went to the front page every day during the sale and just checked out one of the sales prices. And if you were lucky, there was a game and it had a really steep discount because it was in a flash sale and blah, blah, blah. Well, they're changing it now to once the thing is on sale and it's on that sale price, that's the price throughout the whole sale.
So no more flash sales is what you're saying?
Yeah, it sounds like it. But once something gets discounted to 75% off or 90% or whatever it is, that's it for the whole sale.
Okay.
So you've got to the end of the wholesale, which is a much more traditional method of it.
Yeah, well, they started doing that thing where they would do daily sales, but then you could go back to the previous day and still get those sales
anyway.
Extending
it a little bit.
Yeah. So it's just make it easy for people. Like, yeah, looking at Steam sales should not be someone's full-time job. Like, it was getting a little bit silly to, because you've got like hundreds of things on there.
Yeah.
So it's just painful to try and trawl through them all.
I found quite a lot of it was quite hidden apart from the flash sales and the front page sales.
Yeah.
A lot of games were on sale that you wouldn't know. And I think the best method is to have a wish list. So if you hear something about a game that you kind of you're interested in, you might end up buying, you've done your research, type it into Steam, put it on your wish list, and then during the sale, just keep check that you. Well, actually, it will send you an email anyway when it's on sale, but you can just check those when you want at any time during the sale, and you'll know how much is off the things that you care about. Instead of what Steam does, which is it gives you like a list of games it thinks you'll like based on the games that you own, which isn't necessarily the best way to do it, because if you're like me, someone who's bought a bunch of Humble Bundles and hasn't played half of those, the games I own isn't necessarily a good indication of the games that I'm interested in. Anyway, that's all my news. Do you have anything else to add?
No, so let's get out of the storyline, that's what we were calling that segment, and head on into the gameplay, where we talk about games and stuff we're doing and playing and things and stuff. Yeah,
that's the first time it's been called that, by the way.
No, this just shouts out to the first episode where we had like a plan and like a structure and things, and then it was immediately thrown away because I couldn't be bothered to transition the segments correctly. Anyway, music drop. Berserker Rage. Yeah. Anyway, onto this segment, which is talk about games, which is probably going to be the same games from last week.
I want to talk about
Last week, like the episode came out a week ago.
I want to talk a little bit about Act 3 of Witcher 3.
All right.
Because that's what I've been concentrating on. And I guess you're going to talk about Fallout 4?
A little bit.
Post 40 hours?
Yeah, a little bit. Post 50, yeah. Probably, but yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, well, I'll start then. So, I want to talk not so much about Fallout 4, but more to do with, like, games in general. So, games really fall into two categories for me. There's the stuff that you play and you enjoy playing it as you're playing it. It's like an experience-driven game. And then there's games that are different. They're kind of reward-based games. So they're not necessarily terrible to play, but it's all about getting that sweet reward at the end, you know? So it's like playing Fallout Shelter is all about getting cool stuff for your vault. It's not really about tapping the screen, because it's not fun. It's just about what you're going to get at the end. So Fallout 3 for me was an experience driven game, like the plot lines, the stories, the characters, the universe building, all of that was really great. And now Fallout has become more of a loot based game for me. So Fallout 4, all I'm doing in it is looking for power armors, and I don't want to like consult the internets for assistance. So I've now got probably 10 frames and 20 fusion cores and a suit of every kind of power armor apart from two limbs that I'm missing on the XO1. I've done almost all the main quests. I've done majority of the like the non-repeatable side quests is what I'd call them. And I'm level 48.
Wow.
So I'm pretty much completely done with the game. And it's just it's a shame, really, because it's kind of happened to a lot of games that I really enjoyed. Like, Destiny, when you first start playing it, is an experience-driven game. And then you really very quickly realize that it's very hollow, very shallow. Hollow, yes, and shallow, yeah. All of the hollows. And then you very quickly see that the game design changes to a loot-based system where it's all about getting that next purple or that next exotic, and it's not really about having fun playing the game. So it becomes, it turns it from being a hobby to being work. I think that's a, that it's a very big problem at the moment, because a large amount of gamers are young teenagers, kids, or young adults. And a lot of these people are in education, so they don't have work structures. So they can't recognize when they're being forced to just do busybody work for a reward, basically. So I think it's just a problem, because the target markets for Battlefront and Destiny are younger than what we are, and they're younger than the working population. And so they're incentivized to have the loot work-based structure instead of an experience structure. So we're ending up with these AAA games, which should be the best and the brightest, but they just apply to the lowest common denominator, which is a shame. Which is a shame. Which is what I feel about Fallout 4. And Fallout 4's problems that I spoke about in the previous episode, of the animations all being the same, everyone being wooden, everyone seeming like they're robots, when they might actually be robots in this game. But everyone having one sit-down animation and one lay-down animation. It's all really just, I don't know, distracting in a bad way. And I like to see some of the positives recently about the game is that the modding scene has expanded to the point where you can change the dialogue back to how it used to be.
Oh, where it shows you full
text. It shows you the full text options, and you can get rid of the character's voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So you can make it like old school Fallout. I think your main character having a voice is a good thing anyway, but whatever. Yeah. So you can. They're starting to change it, but there's still no minimap, and I'm sad about that.
There will be. There'll be a mod whereby you just hold your Pip-Boy up in the corner the whole time.
Well, even if it's not that, it's just like you can check it. All I want to be able to do is check it. So when I'm done going through, go straight to map. Yeah, just be able to check it, so I can go. Yeah. Oh, I've been through this place. Have I checked every room? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, let's leave.
Yeah. Well, you do get a cleared.
It doesn't mean anything.
It just means you've killed all the monsters in that area.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
It doesn't. And the game can take that away. So when you do a repeater quest, the quest objective is in a place that you've cleared, it will unclear it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yep.
So you said you've completed the main story line.
Yep.
What's the ending like, without spoilers?
Okay, so I did the Brotherhood of Steel ending, and you can't really go into it without spoilers, because it's a lot like the New Vegas ending, where you choose which side wins.
Yes, okay.
That's it.
Okay, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So it's underwhelming, as you might imagine.
Is it a slideshow?
There is a bit of a slideshow at the end.
Okay.
Of like, here's what your sanctuary could look like if you had been bothered to put any time into it. But you didn't, because you're too smart for that nonsense.
Did you see the tower that was created in Fallout 4 that was featured on Reddit, where this guy created a massive tower with lights on the front of it? And it's a really good video if you find it. And basically goes through how it's all made, shows you his massive power generation for all the lights and everything. And then he just kind of wanders out the front, turns around, and it's just lights of a big dick ejaculating into the air. And I just think it's hilarious, because
brilliant.
It's I love the fact that someone actually wasted so much time. He said that he had to downsize the whole thing because he had frame rate issues.
Yeah, so not only building the fucking thing, but it's having all the stuff to build the thing. Or you could use the command, the console commands to get the stuff, but still.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Ugh.
Well, so, then, yeah. Should I talk about an experience-driven game then?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. But I would say this game is fun to play, but it's kind of like there's nothing pulling me in saying like, here, experience this story. This great story was crafted. So at this point, it's all pretty much just loot, just finding the power armors, finding all the stuff.
Loot.
So just, yeah, it's a shame, but it doesn't mean it's not a good game just because I've gotten to the stage where there's nothing left to do apart from the loot. It's still an 8.8 out of 10. I would say the game in the beginning is trying to really hard to be an experience-driven game. And it does succeed in a lot of ways, but it's just not as good as Fallout 3, which is what my disappointment was with it. It does do better in some areas, but just not as an overall game. So I would give it an 8.8 out of 10. I think the review... 8.8 or an 8.5 out of 10. I think the review, the Open Critic average review of 8.8 is probably reasonable.
Okay. All right. We'll have to see what the DLCs and the possible modding and also possible approved modding does as well. We'll have to see what happens.
I'm still not a believer in the approved modding for consoles thing. But anyway. Yeah. Go ahead. You want to talk about Witcher?
Witcher 3, Act 3 specifically. The overall arcing story is, I think, fantastic and one of the best in gaming, really, because it's a simple story. It's actually one that's been repeated many times. In fact, Fallout 3's story is not too dissimilar.
Yeah, instead of where's daddy, it's where's daughter.
Yeah, where's daughter?
Where's daughter now before I shank you?
So, but the thing is that when you get a conclusion to that story, it's quite emotional. I think it's a real emotional journey. And it's one that's captivated me and kept me playing the game for ages, for just absolutely ages, when I should be stopping. And the thing is that I bought Fallout 4 midway through playing Witcher 3, and I have ditched Fallout 4 to play Witcher 3 to the end, and do as much as I can, really. I've done all the side quests, all the story missions. I'm literally, all I'm doing now is doing some of the treasure hunts and some of the Witcher contracts. Is all I'm doing, and maybe some trophy grabbing and just exploring some of the map. But I can't really fault the game on anything major. There's nothing major I can really fault the game on. Plot hole wise, I don't think there are too many. There's like a couple of minor ones. There's one that I know they kind of patched in a plot hole into the game, but that was, I think, so that they could have a character back in the game. I won't say who. Everything sort of has quite good consideration in terms of dialogue, in terms of character building. No character that you ever meet and have to interact with multiple times feels like a throwaway. Even the characters that you think, oh, I should know this guy from the previous games, doesn't really matter. You'll end up interacting with that person multiple times, and you'll be able to get a sense of them and their history and your relationship with them. And that's what's great. And you really feel like you want to participate, and that drives your actions within the game. So if you take the role of protective daddy, that will affect which ending that you get.
Definitely a protective daddy over here. Not letting no bitches near my door. Stab.
But that's the thing. You want to play that role. I didn't play the game thinking, oh, I'm choosing these actions based on what I think will get me the best result within the game. I was choosing those actions based on how I felt about the characters.
Yeah, that's a very tough line to kind of go, because with like Mass Effect, with a few of those games, it's kind of like you have a bar, you fill the bar with good points, and then once you filled it with good points, there's no other reason for you to be good, so you can be bad.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but with Witcher, it's much more like there was a lot more times in Witcher when something bad was clearly about to happen, but I wasn't necessarily in the mood to kill all the guys that were about to do something bad. So I was like, meh, whatever.
I'll pick the peaceful option.
Or it's not necessarily the peaceful option, because someone's still clearly about to get murderized. But it's more picking the option of, I'm not really going to get involved here.
Yeah. So, well, there are quite a few moments in the game where I think you consider not killing someone, you know. And weirdly enough, like every Witcher contract that you do, you can choose to not take the money. Though there is no detriment or positive to, you know, either of the options.
Oh, no, take the money. Come on now.
Wouldn't, the thing is that money in the game is generally well managed, but if you know that you don't need pretty much 90% of the things that you pick up, you can sell pretty much everything.
Yeah.
The only problem then you come across is that the merchants don't have enough money.
Yeah. Although the other problem you come across then, when you will need one of the things you sold, and you'll be sad about it.
There's very few, and actually they give, like, the good items, they give them colours so that you know which are the more valuable ones, or rarer things. But generally, you generally reach the peak in terms of items a lot earlier than...
How did you...
The story demand.
How did you feel about the horse? Because I think the thing that would
it's
knock
the worst
it from,
thing,
from being for me from being like a 10 out of 10 game would be the fact that traversing the world with the horse is just horrible.
It is. And the worst side missions in the game are races.
Yeah, or have you... The races I didn't have that much trouble with, because you can do the classic thing of and just sit in front of the opposition and then they can't
That's
ever
true.
Pass you.
But there is a particular race late in the game that I think is like the final ultimate race.
The ultimate.
It's not very long, but there's a glitch with it whereby you come across a bridge that you need to just gallop across. But for some reason, the bridge will always stop you dead.
Yeah. No, I know about this. Oh, it's just,
and if you're not far enough ahead of your opponent, by the time you get to that point, you will lose it. Because the finish line is like almost directly after.
Yeah.
So there's that, which is very frustrating. Yeah, the horsey. I wish what they'd done is just get rid of the horse and just have fast travel, fast travel points.
What? Or you can do fast travel from anywhere. Would have
been
nice.
Maybe at some kind of cost. I do think it's a good thing to force people to fast travel. No, sorry, force people not to fast travel when going to a new location.
Oh no, yeah, that's fine. But I'm talking about I'm talking about just fast traveling to a location that you've already discovered, not any further. Kind of like I like how Fallout does fast travel. I always have. So you just open the menu anywhere you've been. Boom, you can go back there.
Yeah.
And it's like, it makes sense your character knows where he's going now, right? You've not had to discover anything.
Though you can do that whole thing with Fallout where you haven't cleared an area, you fast travel there and you die.
Well, I'll tell you this, right? In Fallout 4 recently, I cleared an area and then had to go back there to investigate the police station in particular.
Yeah.
Fast travel back, and an Assaultron, which is the second toughest robot, and it was a legendary version that was invisible, appeared out of nowhere, stabbed me in the face repeatedly, and shot me with a giant energy beam, which was nice, and killed me. And I'd already killed everything in this area and picked up the power armor that was there. So very kindly, Fallout 4 will respawn enemies even in areas you've cleared.
Yeah.
Which is nice of it, obviously. Very kind. But
so,
never mind. So still a problem, even for places you have cleared.
There's one more thing about Witcher 3. And it's... They're progressively releasing DLC, free DLC for Witcher 3, but
the
they're also
DLC's
going...
done. The free ones, anyway.
Yeah, sorry, the free ones are. But they're also releasing paid DLC as well. And it's one of the first times where I'm very much considering getting the season pass due to the reviews that I've seen on Hearthstone. Hearthstone?
On Hearthstone, on a card game. You're getting your video game reviews from a card game, Jeremy. What's going on? What's going on here? Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yes. What's it called? I forgot what it's called.
It's not called Hearthstone, I'll tell you that much.
No, it's entitled Hearts of Stone. There you go. Oh, dear. Hearts of Stone. And it takes place in an existing map area. And it continues the adventures. And I'm very much interested in sort of continuing the adventure. So
does it continue the storyline, or does the storyline end? Does the main storyline end? Like, is there a clear, like, the main storyline is finished?
Oh, God, it really depends.
So are you saying it depends on your actions?
Yeah, it really depends on your actions.
Okay. That's an answer still. That's an answer.
And I can't say any more about that because it really leads to spoilers.
No. But it's an answer if you think that certain choices will lead to an end and certain won't, or it will leave it open-ended.
Yeah. Each of the main endings actually lead to a different epilogue mission.
Okay.
As well. So, which is a shame, really, because I'm not going to play the whole game from when you get those choices to the end just to play that one little mission at the end. It's not a very long mission.
Jamie, that's what YouTube's for.
I know. Unfortunately, I've already done that.
Ah, oh, there you go.
So, yeah, no, that's... I'm trying to think of the last time when a game that was very story-driven captured me this much. I think it was probably The Walking Dead Season 1.
Okay.
I really loved the story in that one. That's probably the last one. I don't think there's anything in between where the story was... Oh, The Last of Us was probably... Was that in between or just before? But anyway...
What about Borderlands of the pre-sequel?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we've played that.
Yeah, we didn't buy the collection and never play it.
Like 0%?
Yeah. Anyway. I was just thinking about that because I've got it sitting there in my games pile just rotting away. If games could rot. I would, if you were going to ask me the same question, I'd probably actually say Final Fantasy 14. I really enjoyed enjoyed that game. Yeah. Or do enjoy it.
But story-wise, forget all the kind of gameplay aspects.
I enjoyed the story, kind of the world building and being like, all right, look, there's bad stuff and you got to help destroy it. And there's empires and there's the people and then there's the...
Crystals.
The crystals, always crystals. And then there's the gods and then there's the dark gods and you got to fight the dark gods and there's other stuff and there's dragons. Yeah. But the dragons were betrayed and all that kind of stuff. And some of the more, some of the stuff with, what was it? It's not Realm Reborn. It's the one after Heavensward. That's what it's called. Some of the plotline between the humans and the dragons and how that whole situation came about. And then Saint Shiva. All that stuff. Great. I think that's a great little plotline there. If you can be bothered to read through it. But I do think the plot line's pretty good. It does take a long time to get going, but I did enjoy it. It was like being in a novel, basically, because it's just so long. I think that's the most recent one. I enjoyed Dragon Age Inquisition as well. I thought that was good.
Ah, yeah.
That was good.
I think that was this year. I enjoyed Shadow of Mordor. I thought that was a pretty good game for its story.
You know what pissed me off about Shadow of Mordor?
It didn't capture as much as some of the others.
You know what really annoyed me about Shadow of Mordor?
What's that?
Your health bar is way too small in that game.
You can upgrade it.
I've made two mistakes. I might as well give up and die. It's like, Jesus Christ.
It was a punishing game. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's like ridiculous. It's like, oh boy.
But I'm not against that.
No, I just got frustrated because if you die once and then the whole board gets populated with dudes you have to go and kill again, I just got frustrated with that game. Put it down.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm not even in the mood for this.
The second half is far better.
Yeah, because really you can start taking over people. Taking over their minds.
Instead of just killing them.
All right. So are we done?
On to the extended universe.
Is there a music drop? There is. I keep calling them music drops, and they're not all music drops. Sometimes they're just words and stuff, but it's just kind of like poke, poke, do edit, poke. Anyway.
Extended universe.
Boom, here we are. So, Jamie, do you want to start? Have you got one, or should I start?
I think you should start.
All right, I should start. And I've just gone to open Netflix to find the name of the show, and I've turned off my phone, so I can't get fucking Netflix open. Yay, that's so well organized. So well organized. Okay, so recently I was watching an anime, right? So most people will know I am moving to Japan, and I am learning Japanese. And I am currently watching shows to improve said Japanese. And so I'm looking for shows with simple Japanese, you know? So stuff aimed at a younger audience.
Yeah, so there's fair enough.
A Maha Shoujo anime, which is a magical magic girl. You know, wands, jump around, be cute, fucking shoot magic everywhere. Good stuff. And there's one on Netflix called Yuki Yuna is a Hero. And it starts off and it's all fine, you know, that they're middle schoolers, which would probably be beginning of secondary school for us.
Yeah.
And they start off, everything's fine, they're fighting the demons, they beat them down, they're called vertexes. It's kind of very like there's 12 vertexes and they're coming to destroy the place and they have to defeat them, and it's like, it's all good, fair enough, everyone's happy. And then they get to kind of the final battle at episode 5. And it's like, there's 12 episodes. So you're like, what is going on here? Like, final battle at episode 5? What's about to happen? So they win the final battle. But the way they win it is they have to use this thing called Mankai. Shout out to Bleach and Bankai. Similar, but not quite.
Yeah.
So they use Mankai. And then after they use that, they lose something. So for every one of them, it's different. So one of them loses her hearing in one of her ears. One of them loses sight in one of her eyes. Another one loses taste. And one of them loses her voice.
Okay.
Like, gone.
It's shit, dude.
And it's like, this just fucking escalated ridiculously. What is going on here? Okay? And I'm going to spoil this because people need to know about this show, all right? People need to be warned. I was ready for fucking fun times, cute girls jumping around fighting demons and learning some simple Japanese. But no, I was met with feelings and darkness and disabilities that I was not expecting. So then,
is this supposed to be a statement of some kind?
I have no idea. And so then it turns out that every time they use this thing called Mankai, which is like their ultimate power, they lose something from themselves.
Yeah.
And it also turns out that the whole world's been destroyed and it's a post-apocalyptic anime. And the only surviving place is this one area of land. This one prefecture in Japan. That's it. Everything else is hell.
That's Attack on Titan as well.
It's like, no, but it's literally like fire, like lava hell.
I see.
So there's only this one prefecture that's surrounded by this wall. And as soon as you walk through the top of the wall, you can kind of walk through the illusion.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, everything's on fire. And there's an infinite amount of these demony things. Oh, pardon me. And so the woman who was disabled from the beginning of the show, and you just assumed, all right, she's disabled, whatever, they haven't really explained it. But then when everyone goes Mankai and they lose something, they gain an extra fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the woman in the wheelchair, already had two fairies. So then you cotton on very quickly, obviously before the show does, because, you know, but that she used to fight the demons and she used Mankai twice already.
Mm.
And it's like, then the main character, a couple of the characters get summoned when they come out of like the alternate dimension to fight the demon. They come out of that and they come into the normal place. They get transported to see one of her old friends who would use the Mankai thing 21 times.
Wow, okay.
So she's basically a corpse now.
Jesus.
So it's like, okay, that's a little bit excessive. And then it turns out like, oh, their parents all knew that they'd be sacrificing themselves basically for the good of the place.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents were basically being paid off to do it.
Yeah.
And the woman character, she had already used Mankai twice and she'd lost her memories and her legs, so she couldn't use her legs anymore.
This is actually a genre, isn't it, in anime?
It's the magical...
The tragedy genre.
Well, I don't... It's weird, because it's like the Mahou Shoujo genre is pretty big, so it has loads of stuff in it. Like, there's one I watched where it was kind of like... I've only watched a few, but the other one I watched was kind of like more of an adult look at it. So it's kind of like they're not really magical girls, because there's women that were the magical girls before that, and they were just sent there to kind of do a job. But then the ones who were sentient were kind of like, we're tired of your nonsense, we're going to find some actual girls to come and do the job. Which was quite funny. But this one... And so we've escalated to the point where they all know they're about to get horrible disabilities. And one of them completely loses it and is like, right, I'm killing everything. I'm done with this. So she blasts holes in the wall and then they get invaded by like thousands of the demon things.
Mm.
Total spoilers for this now.
Yeah, of course.
And then the other ones kind of like go to stop her. And one of the ones who hadn't used Mankai yet uses it maybe like 7 times in like the space of 2 minutes. And so she loses her eyes, her ears, her legs, her arm, and something else. And it was like, that was, not worth it. And so then another one loses some other stuff. They all lose, all the rest of the four of them also lose stuff. But then they fight and destroy another like demony thing, like a big one. And then they all kind of wake up and come out of it and everyone's fine. And all the disabilities are gone.
Okay.
And it was like, what the fuck? What?
So what was the point in the sacrifice?
Yeah. It was like, what was going on before? So you blew a hole open in the wall, loads of demons came through, you destroyed them, and then everything's fine, you can have your disabilities back. It was bizarre. It was a really weird ending. So I don't know if there's going to be another season, or if we're done.
It sounds like another anime, though. I think this one is designed to be dark from the beginning, called Brunhilde in the Darkness.
Yeah.
And I recommend, if you like anime, watch that one. Because it's super dark. It's really, really dark. Because it's, again, it's sort of like a school setting. But it quickly dissolves into these girls who have very little time to live and have to take these pills every like 24 hours to keep living.
Brilliant.
Are these experiments done by the government on orphans, and the way in which they perish if they don't take their pills is they kind of just melt.
Brilliant. Great.
And it's
Wicked.
I mean, there are dark, there are darker animes than this one.
Bloody the Wicked thing is, Witch of the West style. There we go. That was trying to get the words out there, Jamie. Go ahead.
If you read like the information about this one, you won't necessarily know it's a really dark anime.
And apart from the fact darkness is in the title.
Yeah, but well, it's just the title.
We've got 2 minutes. We've got literally 2 minutes worth of time to hear your nonsense thing. That's most definitely going to be better than your trip to Belgium and whatever last week.
My trip to Belgium was fine.
What was the one last week? Oh, it was probably garbage. Anyway, go ahead.
I went to a concert. And
see, that was garbage. That's why I can't remember it. Go on. What's your one this week?
I was just going to talk about a film I watched. That's all.
As long as it's not you bitching about Spectre, it's fine.
I watched a film that I loved and hated at the same time, called...
Better not be talking about Spectre.
No. Inside Llewellyn Davis.
Robert Llewellyn Davis.
Huh?
Crichton from Red Dwarf.
No.
You're talking about a film that's set inside Crichton from Red Dwarf. What are you on about?
Yeah. Inside Llewellyn Davis is a Coen's film.
The Coen brothers?
Okay.
I'm asking.
What?
Coen's. Coen brothers.
Are they brothers? Is always what they were.
Really?
Hey. There you go.
The guys who did Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? The Coen brothers.
I was trying to think, are they actual brothers, or are they just called brothers?
I don't know now. I'm confused.
Yeah, they are actual brothers. There you go.
So they made a film set inside Crichton Red Dwarf. This is really getting weird, Jamie. I don't know about you, but I'm freaked out by this.
It's set in New York in like the 60s.
Okay. So there's a film set inside of Crichton from Red Dwarf, set in New York in the 70s?
60s.
60s. Oh, my apologies. Oh, God.
Yeah. This, by the way, is the synopsis to the new season of Red Dwarf.
Yeah, it could be.
It's not beyond them to do something like that.
Yeah, well, they were doing the live recordings recently, so hopefully it's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. As long as the lighting is a bit better, it's over. Need to redo the lighting, but yeah, apart from that,
I think the lighting's the way it is because it's basically a stage show at this point.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, I'm fine with it. I loved and hated at the same time. The writing's really good, and it's about a really detestable guy who is really down on his luck, and just everything goes from worse to worse to worse, and the film just ends. It ends on the worst note as well. So his life is just shit, and it just progressively gets shit, and there's no bit in the movie where everything goes all right, or there's no like proper conclusion to anything.
Brilliant.
But the writing's really good, the humor's quite good. The reason why I hated it though as well is because the film is about a folk singer, and I really hate folk music. So, and there's got to be at least 6-7 folk songs that are played to completion in this video, and all sung by Oscar Isaac, who plays the main role in this film, who is a brilliant actor, by the way, and is going to be in Star Wars.
Who is
he? He's one of the main actors in Star Wars as well.
Do you know what his name is? Because I never know. I very rarely know actor name. I know them by stage name on whatever famous thing they've been on.
Let me see for you. Oscar Isaac.
Beep boop boop bop. Push a button.
Poe Dameron.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, Poe Dameron in Star Wars. And he's a really good actor, no? And this is his, I guess, his first film where he's the main role. And he does a really, really good job of it. He plays the guitar and he sings throughout, and he is a good singer. It's just a shame that all the music in it I really, really hate. But I really like Coen Brothers films. One of my favorites is Burn After Reading with Brad Pitt and George Clooney. Really good sort of comedy film. It's not their best, but it's just one of my favorites.
Just for no reason.
What?
Isn't that the one where they shoot the best character in the face for no reason?
Pretty much.
Yeah. that was the extent of my watching that film, was like, all right, done. No, you've gotten rid of the only character I liked
really
in this
funny.
Film.
I find it a really funny moment.
The
I
only
you liked
character
George
I liked
Clooney.
In this film you got rid of. I'm done now.
I thought you liked George Clooney.
No, I like George Clooney in Gravity because everything else in that film sucks. And he was the only respite from the rubbish of that film.
George Clooney's got some other great films like Men Who Stare at Goats. I think that's a really good film.
Yeah, and anyway. I'm not saying he's terrible, I just don't really like him.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, fun story, just before we end the show.
Yeah.
I watched Gravity on a plane. Imagine that. Now fade to the outro and end on that. Yeah. No wonder I had motion sickness.
All right. See you later, everyone.
Bye.
Level complete.